long, long, long time ago, but still kind of in the future. Not that it matters, because time's not even real anyway.
Welcome back, people, to another Flight Risk episode. We are wrapping up our Strangers in a Strange Land story. Things are reaching a heated pitch here on Week, and I cannot wait to figure out how this story ends. As always, I am your GM, Dwayne, and we're going to get to our player character introduction so we can get right to our action as quick as humanly or birdly possible. Speaking of birds, because I'm the master of segues, our first player tonight is Arp. How are you?
Doing just fine, thanks.
Cool. And who are you bringing to our finale?
I'm playing Kwe Goris. Kwe is a Satari gunslinger. Satari are bird people from the planet Arbuin. They have been indentured to the Count.
Very, very cool. And this question is for you, Arp. If you could choose three characters from anywhere in the Star Wars lore, from cartoons, comics, books, TV shows, movies, we'll stay out of slash fiction because that gets to some scary places, but, you know, published adventures and that kind of stuff. What three characters would you want to have dinner with?
Well, I think we'd have to start off with Obi-Wan Kenobi. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the obvious one. Obi-Wan is a delightful conversationalist, as we know.
So are you going Alex Guinness or Ewan McGregor?
Yeah.
Yes, both.
They both bring such amazing energies to the character. I think, you know, having a young Obi-Wan and old Obi-Wan would be either
over the course of the meal, fine. He could just age as the meal goes and you could switch.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at him at the end of episode 3 and then at the start of episode 4,
some stuff goes down.
He probably did just.
All right, so that's one. Who are your next two?
I think Sabine Wren from Rebels. She's one of my favorite characters in all of Star Wars. She's kind of rash and impulsive, but you know, she's a badass and she's got a good heart and she wants to do the right thing. And she respects the traditions of her people while also recognizing the need for, you know, different types of progress and standing up for yourself. So great respect for Sabine. Final character, I think would be General Organa in the, as we see her in, you know, the Last Jedi era. She's, Princess Leia and then later General Leia's, my top favorite character in Star Wars. I think one of the best characters we have in popular culture media. And I think hanging out with her would be, an education and a privilege.
Very cool. Awesome choices. All right. Next player we have is Mark. Mark, how are you?
Tired, but I've got a giant Ewok full of coffee right next to me, so I'm good.
That's a euphemism I've never heard before, but okay. Whatever works. I don't know the drug lingo from where you're from, what an Ewok of coffee means, but you know, whatever gets Ewok you through the show.
Did Mary Jane sell it to you?
All right, Mark. Who are you bringing to this finale?
I am playing Aaron Windstalker, human seeker pathfinder. His emotional strength is independence. His emotional weakness is arrogance.
I felt like we're on force majeure there for a second.
Yeah. I don't think I've talked about his emotional strengths and weaknesses at all.
Well, we saved it for the finale.
That's the last episode. Yeah.
All right, Mark, same question for you. What three characters would you like to have dinner with?
Well, I didn't think of her at first, but I'm also going to go with Sabine Wren from Rebels. Mm-hmm. Because if you follow or know who I am in real life, you know that I'm an artist, and artists don't get a whole lot of love in Star Wars. So it would be really interesting to have a conversation of what the art of the galaxy is like.
Okay.
Yeah. I think my second choice would be Yoda, post-Ghost. Okay. He knows lots of things, and I want to know those things.
Okay, that's two. Your last?
The third one, maybe the Bendu, also from Rebels.
Okay.
Also an odd, wise character who knows a lot of things about the Force, but you'd have to sort of weed through the enigma and puzzles to, I don't know, I feel like that would be fun. sorting through his words to come up with answers.
There you go. I mean, just having Yoda there to help you. Why not? It'd be a lot of interesting conversation. A lot of weird word choices going to be happening.
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least is Velvet. How are you?
Doing well, Dwayne. How are you holding up?
I'm good. I'm excited. I love finales. I feel the excitement. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what happens. So who are you Shocked. Bringing to the finale?
I mean, I have to stay on brand, especially now at the apex of the spooky season. I think I would go for General Grievous, Darth Sidious, and Count Dooku.
Nice. Okay, I dig that. That'd be... Yeah. Exactly. Makes you wonder who would pick up the bill in that foursome. I don't know.
I feel like everyone just get in the fight over who has to pay.
Yeah. I am shocked by one thing. And that's that Asajj Ventress wasn't on your list. I thought that would have been a no-brainer.
I thought about it.
All right, so you guys reach the top, and Momin still just stares out, and without turning around, you hear what sounds like, for lack of a better term, almost like a demonic voice. It sounds like almost two people are talking at once. So you hear two voices that are on top of each other.
I was expecting you. I have been waiting for someone like you for so long. Welcome.
And they turn around, and you just see the mask of Lord Bowman. And I should probably have had the picture. If you want to just look up Lord Bowman's mask real quick, you see what it looks like online, folks. It's kind of like a shining metallic mask with a couple small slits on it. Very, nothing fancy. It's very old school Iron Man. Doesn't have a nose or anything. And they just turn and they stare, and you can't really see their eyes through the slits, but their face is turned directly towards Quay.
Quay, like, points at themselves and, like, is looking at the others, is pointing at them, like, me, the, who, is this the plural you?
Moment's head just tilts to the side a little bit, kind of like a dog when they're kind of trying to figure something out, and it jerks back up. And goes,
you are not from this world. I know all the species that exist on this sad piece of mud. But you do not belong here. You have knowledge of the rest of the universe where I belong. I have been here so long I don't remember who I was when I first got here. And now you are here. You will help me leave this planet. You will help. You have the knowledge. You got to this planet. You survived the starfall. You will help me get free.
No. I don't think so. You don't seem very nice. And I don't think you'd be a positive addition to the universe at large, given what you've done to this planet already.
This rock is meaningless. It's an aberration. It exists in a time so far before that they have no technology. Do you have any idea what it is like for someone like me? With my mind, with what I know, what I know, what I knew, what I know. To be stuck with twigs and fire. I challenged the gods themselves. And now, I deal with children. I am not asking you for your help. You will help me. I will get the answers from your living or dead body.
I think Qued lifts their crossbow and says, I think I've had enough of people believing they own me for one lifetime. And looks to the others.
Aaron, Aaron nods at Quay and says, I think you underestimate the power that this planet has. And can I flip a light side point to see that group of bandits and city folk and everybody running towards the tower?
Sure, that sounds good.
That group of hundreds of armed citizens of Week start running towards the tower, and we hear a battle cry from hundreds of feet below.
Yes, the Mongmen just cast their head to the side.
No, Sam, you count the ants all riled up. They will be squashed by my metalmen. Did you not know that I could see you? That I saw through the eyes of my children, through these two? Once my connection was lost by, I assume, you, they point at Quay, since you are the off-worlder, because no one from this planet could possibly do what you did. You disconnected some of my children from me. So I know you have the knowledge to help me. Because this one I am now, is not what I need to be. I need to be you. I cannot be this.
And then Lord Moment's head drops for a second and shoulders slump. And for a few seconds, it just kind of sways back and forth. And the head jerks back up. And its head turns directly to Aaron Windstalker. And Aaron, you hear a voice that you haven't heard in a very long time. Go.
Windy. Windy, is that you? What? What's going on, Windy?
And you recognize the voice of Nim.
Where am I? What happened? I knew you would come for me. I knew you would come.
And again, the head just jerks down and pops back up. And the voice returns to being the echoed voice of Moment.
This one knows you. How funny. The Force works in such ways. You were the one they've been crying about forever. That you would come and save them, and you did? Look at you, the hermit who thinks he's a hero.
Aaron thinks he knows what's going on, and I think he would just run and attack.
Okay. All right, then we're going to have to roll some initiative.
Okay. Are we doing cool or vigilance here?
That's on, again, your discretion. If you were, I mean, you had your crossbow out, so I think you are ready to fight. So yeah, I always get them backwards. If you're ready to fight, it's cool, right? And if you weren't ready, it's vigilance. Nice. Or is that backwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have boxer and calf in here as well, or are we?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll treat them kind of like we've been doing the turtles. I'll have them working as one kind of like pseudo minion group. So we don't have, like, nine NPCs fighting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're looking at NPC and then all of you guys. So Aaron Windstalker leaps towards Lord Moment, and Lord Moment sticks out their hand and taps into the dark powers around them. And it's going to try. So that's three of those. So they are going to use the force power move to just fling Windstalker just backwards. Not off the top or anything like that. Just stop you mid-jump
Okay.
And do that. So I would roll a what for that.
That's it. You did it.
Isn't there like a... I thought there was... I was reading a different power that you had to roll like a, for a check for something else. Okay. So yeah. So Windstalker just leaps, ready to attack, and Moomin with barely just casualness almost to him, just puts the hands out and just pushes Windstalker back into the four Yinchuri. And you just go slamming to them. They catch you, and he goes,
That is not necessary. You have to die on my tower tonight.
Can I roll my perception check to see if what I guess is going on is going on?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
What's the difficulty?
I'm looking at
Moomin, looking at this mask, looking at the figure under the mask, trying to confirm
if it's your friend.
If I want to see if that if the person wearing the mask is my friend.
They're completely covered. They're small eye slits, but not impossible. I'm going to go three purple with a one black, since you haven't seen your friend in a really long time and you just got thrown back by the force.
Yeah. Okay. I am keen-eyed. I remove the black.
Very poetic.
Failure with two threats.
Great. Good.
Yep. Pretty good. I can't tell if that's the person I know or not.
Mom?
But I'm still going to say it. Non-lethal blows.
The Yinchuri go, what? No. We signed up to kill Moomin, dude, and that is Moomin and all his momicity right in front of us. He needs to die. That's what we signed up for. What is happening?
So,
what's going on, Aaron?
I can't say for sure, but I think under that mask is my friend Nim. She stood up to Moomin years ago, and I think it's her.
How could she stand up to herself?
This is a hunch. But Moomin said they could see through the eyes of the droids. I think Moomin might be the mask.
Well, then we killed the mask.
I don't know if we can do that.
Qued does a spin of their crossbow and says, we can do that.
Was that my whole turn?
Well, no, you just did a perception check. You still have moves.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I push off the turtles and I ready my stick given to me by Loop Starhopper. And I run again towards Moomin. And I am going to do a very difficult thing and aim for the mask. So I'm calling my shot, which adds setback dice to my check.
Okay.
And it is, you said they're adversary two?
Yes.
This is going to go bad. Oh, not as bad as I thought. Okay. And I got three successes and four threats. So I swing my stick at this mask. I've never really done damage against objects before. I don't know what four damage against a mask is going to do.
What kind of dent did you just leave in this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just run up and you cold clock the thing and that you strike it extremely hard and it's still on this person's head I mean, you did hit it hard, mm-hmm. and you could definitely see that you have done damage to it. There could be a small crack starting to form along the seam. You can see, now that you've hit it, that there is a seam, because it's a helmet that can come off and on. So there's a seam there, and you started to cause a little bit of a crack to it.
Okay.
And then that would be, I mean, you did strike Nim, so that's going to be still damage to them.
So 4, and it's stun damage, so it goes to strain.
Oh, straight to strain? Okay.
Yep.
I forgot you have that magical stick thing.
Yep. I am unfortunately engaged with the enemy, and anybody who's attacking it will be rolling an extra red die with their other red die. It's going to be great.
All right. So we're now at another. We're going to do. Because there's 1, 2, 3 of you, 4 turtles. That's 7, 9. We hit those down to 4, 7. Okay. So 6 more people. Okay. So we're going to have NPC 3 PCs, NPC 3 PCs. That way, Moment doesn't get, one attack every hour or so. So. All right, so we have 2 more PC slots to go. So anyone who is not Aaron Windstalker can go. If you want the insurer to go, that's fine. Or one of you guys.
I think, unless Quay wants to go first, after hearing this wild tale of the mask being the person, it sounds so ridiculous that it's probably accurate. So I think... Anarchy, who just routinely falls into the weirdest holes of the HoloNet, will rack her esoteric knowledge to see if she can, maybe jog something related to this at all.
So you're trying to see if you know that if, like, possession by item is possible, yeah. or, like, soul transfer? Is that what you're trying to figure out? Okay. That's the force. I mean, would that be something Anarchy would study? Anarchy, in my head, always would be more of technological stuff and all that kind of jazz, not necessarily be force, but you know your character.
I don't know if she would have pursued it, but I think if she felt there was enough weight to it, she would be aware of it, just in case she ran into anyone that did use it.
Okay. Okay, we'll say that's just a 3 purple check on that. That's not your wheelhouse, but it's something you could possibly have read against your, I guess, lore, maybe?
3 purple.
Mm-hmm. All right, so yeah, so 2 successes, 2 threats. So, yeah, Anarchy, you definitely remember a holovid or something you reading about that there were Jedi or Sith who could... imbue themselves into items and their personalities could definitely exist. You do think, unfortunately, that just ripping the mask off of them may not work. Your threat will be that you think that the souls have been combined and that taking the helmet off may not do anything. But you know that it's possible that this person is definitely possessed. That's just one check. You still can do an action or a movement.
I think I'll take the opportunity to just echo what Windstalker said and just be like, he's not wrong. Break the phylactery. And I think I will try to move myself out of the line of fire so I'm not bunched up with everybody.
Sure. Okay, so you're gonna shift yourself close to the edge, so you might accidentally fall off. Okay.
Not necessarily the edge, but I guess I'll hug the wall just so nobody gets like force slammed into me.
Okay. All right, yeah, you just kind of shift towards a kind of secluded kind of spot off to the side where nobody happens to be at the moment.
We are like on the top of a Star Destroyer.
Yeah, there's no walls. Right? There's like
wind. There's no walls.
And we all know that the Empire and the Sith, they don't use handrails. So
no handrails.
It's kind of like an open space, but you shift away from it.
Like the Voidberg shuffle. I've lowered my center of gravity.
All right. So the Inshuri hear that they're supposed to hit something. They don't know what that word means. They're like, all right, let's knock its head off, dudes. And they rush forward to try to knock the head off of Lord Moment. All right, I'm going to give them a boost because they're doing team tactics and they know what they're doing.
You also got a lot of threats if you want to add some setback dice.
Sure, I'll give them one setback. That's true. All right. A despair. Two successes at advantage and a despair. Okay, so the turtles rush up, and so Drail, who is the blue Yanchuri, takes his sword, swings down, and strikes hard into the shoulders of the armored Lord Momin. Lord Momin's shoulders have spikes on them. As they whip around more, you see the cape flow back, and you see on the forearms there are spikes and blades. On the shins, there are spikes and blades. One might say Lord Momin would be very good at shredding things. One could possibly say that if one didn't want to get sued. So as he takes these hits, Lord Momin grabs the two arms of Drail and stares right into their eyes and goes,
I will kill Hamato Yoshi if you strike me again.
And the Yanchuri have been looking for their master. He's been missing for a few days. They thought he was on a walkabout. But now he is distraught, and you see him just panic and drops his swords. And Lord Momin just kicks them off the top of the tower. And the turtles have all stopped, and they look at each other, and they're unsure of what to do. And they freeze. This is their master. What are you, dude? What are you talking about, metal man? And Momin goes,
Your furry little father figure. Wandered where he shouldn't have. I've been playing with him because I've been bored. But I will promise you, he will die a slow and very painful death if you persist in helping this off-worlder. I will send you piece by piece your father.
And the Yanchuri just stop and go, they look at Aaron Windstalker and they go, Aaron, he has our dad. We can't. He's our father. And you just see that the turtles are backing up and they're disengaging from this fight. They can't risk their father's life. He's the only one that's ever been there for us.
And did Drail just go off the side?
No, Drail's weapons went off the side of the tower.
Okay, yeah. I thought the same thing. I was like, ah.
I thought about having him tossed off the tower, but I'm like, ah, that's maybe a little too much for a despair. Because that's just outright killing a character, and I don't think a despair should outright kill somebody. So we are doing their discipline, which is, where are you at discipline on the sheet? All right. Their discipline is 4 green. So there'd be 4 yellow for you? Yeah, 4 purple. 4 purple. I'm going to give you a couple of setbacks. I'm going to give you 2 setbacks because, one, this is their father. They're scared, and, I mean, they are teenagers. They're not grown adults like you guys. They don't think of the bigger picture. They want their dad to be alive, and they want their world to stay safe. The whole planet is a concept they don't think too much about. So, 2 black. I'm going to go ahead and throw a dark side on this because I want this to be interesting. So that's going to be 1 red, the 3 purple, and 2 black against whatever you got.
Hey, advantages.
All right, so, yeah, Aaron, you make this plea, and to an adult, to someone who maybe to Hamato Yoshi himself, this argument makes sense. But these are teenagers. These are just kids. And they're scared. And their father could die. And they just go,
Dude, we can't risk her dead. You're Windstalker, you know, we got nothing but love for you. But that's our dad. We can't risk her dead. We're sorry, dude.
And they just start backing up. They're not off the roof, but they're definitely not going to try to strike this guy again.
So there's a crack in the mask.
Yes, there's a small crack on it from where Windstalker hit it.
Okay. Quet is going to... Can I spend a maneuver to quickly, with my claw, like, slash off the end of my coral so that it's a blunt thing?
Okay. Yeah. So you're trying to get to a blunt arrow? Yeah. So that's something that's not impossible for you to do, sure.
Okay. So Quet basically slashes off the sharp tip of the coral, and I'm going to take a strain to do an aim maneuver and attempt to fire the coral directly into the crack in the mask.
Okay. So you are going against the adversary 2, so that changes it to 2 red for the range, and then isn't there another red because Windstalker is engaged?
I think so. And then there's a setback for the aimed called shot.
Yep.
2. Okay. And let me get what other stuff I've got here.
You got light side up there to flip too as well.
Yeah. Okay. And he's already acted this encounter, so none of that helps. And let's see here. Quez is a lot less impressive when they don't get the drop on the enemy. I'm going to spend one of the light side points here because I think this is a light side kind of moment.
Mm-hmm.
A moment. And then, okay. And nobody's had any advantages they could pass on, I guess. Nope. Everyone's rolling threats.
Yep.
All right. Let's see what happens. That's nice. So, the good thing is that this doesn't mean anything. Anything more than one would. But I did roll 6 failures and 2 advantages. 6 is the number of the night.
Pretty much. All right. So, Quay, they fire their blunted arrow, and maybe they didn't blunt it right, or they haven't practiced with blunted arrows, so their shot just doesn't strike true, and Lord Momin just swipes away at it with his clawed gauntlet, knocking it to the side, turning their attention back to Quay, and goes,
Why are you making this so difficult? Do you want to stay on this mud ball for the rest of your existence? Don't you want to leave just as badly as I do?
Not if it means setting a thing like you loose on the galaxy.
Nobility. What a wasted characteristic.
Yeah, it's never done me any good.
I don't want to break you. I need you to get off this world. Do I have to kill your friends?
I mean, you don't have to. It would be great if you chose not to do that.
I don't relish bloodshed. I just want to go home, and I want to get off this world. I'm someone with a mind beyond this one's. This is a simple peasant. They don't have what I need. I need a mind like mine. And I can fix what needs to be fixed to get off this world.
I think while Kwe is carrying on this exchange, that the advantages there might mean that this is leaving an opening for our next person to act.
Yeah, because we still have...
They could use a boxer, some boost.
Yeah, boxer, calf bot. Yeah, because Momin is just engaged with Quay right now. And yeah, Boxer will try to do what he does best and punch him in the head.
Yeah.
That seems to be the tactic, is going for the headshot. All right. And then you have passing on the two advantages. All right, cool. Jeez. All right, yeah. Boxer takes a large swing at the distracted Momin, but yeah, Momin is able to parry and push back the droid's very heavy and mechanical punch. Sparks fly from the gauntlet as he parries the blow. And we're back at the top. So it's back to Momin's room. So we're back at the top, so it's going to be Momin's turn then. Yeah, then you guys. All right, so Lord Momin is just getting frustrated with the group of you and is going to try to thin the herd with a little bit of some more forcey powers. Which is, there you go. All right, so that's just three. Let's see if I do the description of this power right. So this is called Phantasmagoria.
Oh, that sounds fun.
All right, so just so I'm reading. So once per encounter, may suffer three strain, make a force power check for every force point spent. A target within short range must make a daunting fear check. All right. Yeah. All right. All right, so that's 3 points. So three of you. So who do robots make fear checks? No, right? So engage would just, so short range would be everyone, Anarchy moved back, but Quay, you were shooting from short range. So yeah, so they don't want Quay to leave and Anarchy's too far away. So this will just be, against Aaron Windstalker because the turtles have already backed up and you can't scare a robot. Can you scare a robot? I don't think so. So a daunting fear check. Which is, yeah, just the four. So Lord Momin just raises one hand in palm towards Aaron Windstalker. And from his hand, only Aaron perceives this. You see a dark cloud start to form, and whatever Aaron's greatest fear is, starts to basically, like the ring, crawl out of his palm and start moving towards him. What does Aaron fear, and how does he fail this check?
Aaron sees Nim crawl out of this black smoke. He had the opportunity to go with her that one day when they were younger to try to stop Lord Momin. And he just didn't. He feels like it was his fault that she never came back. And he blames himself. Yeah, so that's what he sees.
So that black cloud leaves their hand. And again, they turn towards Quay and go,
"What will it take? What do you want? I can do what you want. I just want to leave. The universe is such a large place. I can find someone else to be somewhere else, and we will never cross paths."
What do you plan to do once you find someone else?
What I meant to do, I create. I take machines.
And those machines go on to dominate others? In your name?
I am the Lord God Momin. Do I not deserve a place to rule?
If you'd met me many years ago, I probably would have agreed and said yes. But I've come to believe in my time in the service of terrible men that no one deserves to rule.
So we're at a PC slot. So Windstalker can go with the disadvantages of being feared, or someone else could go.
I would like to go, because then at the end of the turn, I cannot be engaged anymore.
All right.
So Aaron's got this bag on his back, and normally he just keeps his fancy stick and his bow in it. And right now he just reaches back, and he pulls out this glowing sword made out of pure light side. And he's going to swing it at Momin.
Oh my god.
And can I have a boost because Momin is distracted by Quay?
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and give you, again, a boost because Momin is not regarding you, really. They're just making their plea towards what they think is the wise space adventurer that is Quagors. And I'll give you two because the force weaponry, that's just cool. And that's going to give you another boost for coolness. So two blue for that.
And I'd also like a boost because I'm being very careful with my swing because I'm pretty sure my friend is under there.
Sure.
So I'm aiming.
That's it. We'll give you three.
All right. So that is a failure. Aaron pulls out this light side sword from his bag and swings it at Lord Momin, but the dark side is too strong. The energy radiating from Momin extinguishes the blade, and the energy dissipates as soon as it hits.
Yeah, the dark side that's emanating from Momin just overwhelmed the pure light, the purity that Windstalker was wielding. And next PC.
Yeah. So I think, you know, Anarchy really doesn't have any connection to the Force. So I think she's going to, you know, rely on her good old medical and mechanical training to solve this. And I want to just study Momin for get a good look, see if I can just identify any sort of weakness in the armor or a general malady that might be exhibiting, because her strategy at this point was the turtles punking out is to just turn this battlefield into an operating table and take Momin down piece by piece.
Okay, so are you checking for a mechanical issue with the armor or if there's a physical malady? Because one would be a medicine check, one would be a mechanical check.
I think mechanical, okay. Just because, you know, given that I also know about the mask.
Sure, okay. Two purple. You're just analyzing armor. That's something you're good at.
Oh my gosh. I succeeded.
Okay. Okay. You can definitely see that this armor that Lord Momin is wearing was not designed for them. It does not fit this body type. This was definitely armors for a much larger person. How tall is Nim, Mark?
She's about 5'6".
Sure. So this is a 5'6"-ish person wearing armor that was probably designed for someone who was closer to 6 feet tall. So you can tell that there are definitely ways where you could probably knock this armor off or it doesn't fit them right. So you'll be able to, if you want to pass this information on, we'll give some boost to people making attacks to try to, like you said, take it apart piece by piece.
Yeah, I will pass that knowledge on.
Okay, so that's just one. You still have another action if you want to move, or are you just fine where you are?
I don't want to move. I'm trying to think what else I can do. Can I try to use my my little MacGyvered PDA, see if I can try to conscript some of the systems around us to help us?
Sure. Yeah, you could do. You could try to pull off the trick you were doing before with your little battery pack that is Calfbutt. You try to plug into something and get some control of something. Sure. The same check that you did before.
How many purples was that again?
I think I said three purple and two black.
Okay.
All right, cool. So four successes and four threat there. So we'll say a couple of threat will have the same thing. You're plugging, you're cutting wires that probably shouldn't be cut. You're going faster than, you know, OSHA regulation state, and you're getting sparks, a little bit of damage. So you, and I'll mark it off for Calfbot, you each are going to take a couple strain from sparks and damage for the rush job. But yeah, you have some control over what is up here. And then when we come back to your turn, we can kind of think about what you want to have control of. And when you come back, we'll see what you can do.
All right. How much strain is that?
Two or three. We'll just split it evenly, two each.
All right, cool.
All right, so...
I just want to see through Jason's eyes. Where is he? What is he doing?
Jason the Purgle? Sure. Okay. Well, where you guys left the Purgle and Wowzer was kind of the Bay Area that you opened up. So you had an unexpected glimpse through the Purgle's eyes, and you could see the Purgle kind of just floating up, coming, like he's just kind of hovering above the crevasse, not too terribly far away from its big mechanical friend, but it's just kind of floating there, and it's never been in this kind of area before, so it's like a little kid kind of excited and scared at the same time, knowing maybe I shouldn't be out here, but this is so totally awesome. Okay, then from a nice pulled back camera, we see a Purgle that was just kind of listling around a little bit. Just kind of turn and just start moving as quickly as it can upwards towards this tower. And we'll say with your next attack, there will be a Purgle up there with you. All right, so I think Quet?
Yeah.
Or Boxer, one of the two.
Well, the gambit with the quarrel clearly didn't work. What else can we do?
You have your spear, and you have your wits.
Can I attempt to, vault over there and just try and grab the mask off? Like, flip over Moment's head and try and pull it off as I flip over?
Some sick parkour?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, we have established that Quay is probably the best parkour participant on week, so sure. Okay, so that'll be two checks. One's going to be the parkour, and then the other one will be a grapple. So kind of like a movement and then the attack.
Okay.
Two purple is it, for...
Is it an attack, or is it more of like a sleight of hand thing?
Oh, I guess, like a skullduggery type thing.
Which, yeah, I mean, it's not great for me either way.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Skullduggery, I guess, would be like if you're trying to pickpocket somebody.
Yeah.
So, okay. So if you want to do we'll do one roll for the flip and then one roll for the skullduggery.
All right. What's the difficulty of doing a sick flip over Lord Moment's head?
Just the regular two purple.
Okay. Okay. I succeed in doing a sick flip. Two successes and an advantage.
All right, so you pass that advantage on to now your skull duggery, which this is a helmet that's designed not really to come off.
It is also cracked.
It is all okay. So I'm going to say that three purple, and it's designed really not to come off. So it's maybe Moment had situations in his long story past where he thought about over these thousands of years that someone might try to rip this thing off his head. So definitely one black as well. So yeah, we'll say three purple and a black.
Okay.
I want to flip a dark side so bad, but this is just like a cool moment that I don't want to ruin.
You're going to pass my advantage on to myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Trying to remember, because this is, I don't have any actual levels in this skill.
Yeah, I will flip it. Yeah, I will upgrade this because I have an idea for a despair in case it happens. So yeah, so that'll be one red, two purple, and a black against whatever your pool is.
I mean, it's not great. Now if I flip a light side point to upgrade, does that turn a green into a yellow, or does it add a green? I can't remember exactly.
Turns a green to a yellow.
Okay, so I'll do that.
Is anybody help in any way that we could think of?
With my identifying that the armor is just too big on them, do you have any help?
That's true, yeah. You got me some advice there, so we'll give you the Anarchy boost. That's another blue.
Okay. Let's try. Two successes and a despair.
Despair. Okay. Okay. It's exactly what I wanted to have happen. This is nice when it all works out. So, what does it look like as Quay does this sick maneuver?
Quay is moving very quickly and low to the ground. Like, they shove the hand crossbow into its holster and, like, the arms fold up. And they, like, zig to the left swiftly and zag almost faster than the eye can see to the right. And then as their right leg touches down at the end of that arc, they shove off and they fly in this sort of twisting diagonal that flip that's going over towards Moman's head. And at the very apex of that flipping arc, Quet is upside down directly above Moman's head, and they reach down and grab the mask, their claws digging into it, their talons digging into it. And the momentum of the flip peels the mask away as they go down to land behind Lord Moman. And then something bad happens.
Sure, as your agile bird friend flips over Lord Moman and rips the mask off, Aaron, you see a pale, gaunt face that you haven't seen in years, and bloodshot eyes, and it just looks, she looks exhausted, like you've been awake for years, unable to rest. And she blinks a few times, and she just collapses there in her armor and falls to the ground, her mind finally free from this grasp. And as Quay lands, they stumble, they slip, and the mask slips precariously close to their face, and inside their head, they hear a voice.
We will rule the stars.
Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you like what you've heard, please head over to iTunes and leave an iTunes review. Those really help other people find the show. If you want to help us create more great Flight Risk episodes, please head on over to our Patreon at patreon.com/flightriskpod. If you want to help us in a way that doesn't involve credits leaving your pocket, please spread the word on social media. We can be found on Twitter at FlightRiskPod and on Facebook.
You can choose the light, you can choose the dark, but sometimes you have no choice but to run. Who's saying that I run? I don't run.
Man, you guys just really, he was just trying to plead with you guys, like, just help him get off planet and, you know, being bullies and stuff.
He's an evil monster.
He just wants to go home and take over a planet or two. How many planets are there in the galaxy? Do you complain when someone takes a grain of sand from the beach?